Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. She was desperate. She really needed a fix, but she also needed to be done with the opioids, with the heroin, with all of it. But she really needed a fix. Her body's craving was making her sick, weak, shaky. She had been like this once before, but it had not been fun or pretty. She needed that fix so desperately, but part of her didn't want to and wasn't sure where to go or what to do about any of it. She could go to her dealer and they could make some kind of an agreement about getting her fix. She could shoplift or go back home and steal from her parents again. Instead, she went to Focus on Friends, this peer-run place that she had heard about that was designed to help people like her, people who wanted out, people who wanted to stay out. And there they matched her up with a detox facility. It was going to be there through that tough time and then pass her on to a recovery house. This was going to take a lot of effort. It was going to take a lot of hard work. It was going to take a lot of determination, support, goodwill, so much more, but she had started. She knew that she needed help, and she discovered that help was there for her. Too often, people in her situation wind up in jail, and that's where they detox, and that's where there is little to no follow-up. When they're done with jail, they go back to their old friends, they go back to their old ways, they pick up their old habit, and they start the cycle all over again. This situation in the lives of addicts stands for me as a powerful metaphor for sin and repentance. Because as human beings, we are sinners. We are addicts to sin. We are prisoner to our selfishness. We are walking away from God, and we need to turn around. Now, some of us here can see our guilt, and we know that we're captive to our selfishness and our sinfulness. Some of us here can hear the call of Jesus to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, we first heard that call in the middle of last month in the gospel reading as Jesus was beginning his ministry. Now, the word repent in Greek metanoia, it means to turn around, to turn back to God, to turn away from sin and the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful selves. And Jesus is calling us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not repent so that we can encourage the kingdom of heaven to show up, or repent so that we can sort of create a possibility that the kingdom of heaven might be around someday. We're called to repent because God's presence and love, the power, the forgiveness, the life and salvation that God provides here and now. We need help. And Jesus is showing us that help is here for us right now. And so the Sermon on the Mount, this part of Matthew's gospel we've been listening to for the last few weeks, this is Jesus trying to help us see the implications of the kingdom of heaven here in our midst. He wants to show us the implications of our repentance. Blessing come. Blessings come to the most unexpected people. So often the world wants us to believe, and the world around us is saying to us that only when we succeed, only when we drive a fancy car or have a big bank account, is that proof of God's blessings, proof of God's pleasure with us. Jesus tells us all that God's blessings come even when the world least expects it. When we mourn, when we work for peace for those around us, when we are merciful and kind, when we are persecuted even, God's blessing, God's presence, and God's peace are with us, standing beside us. Then Jesus tells us that as God's blessed children, we are salt for the earth, bringing the flavor of God's love to all people. We are the light of the world, shining with God's light and bringing an end to the shadows and darkness all around us. God wants to work with us to make the kingdom of heaven real in people's lives. And we get to be part of that kingdom of heaven being at hand. And we can do it. But Jesus reminds us that righteousness and repentance are part of that plan. In fact, Jesus tells us that the law and the prophets are valid and will be fulfilled in him. And Jesus also tells us that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, which leads us to our gospel reading today. You see, the Pharisees had a plan. They had a system. They had a clipboard full of rules, regulations, stipulations, decrees, and all kinds of things that must be kept, upheld, and done. And because they had that whole clipboard full of lists and things like that, they knew where they were on the list. And they were also more than willing to keep track of everyone else around them at the same time. They were part of the group that looked at success as proof of blessing, and that those who are poor in spirit, those who are mourning or meek or merciful, are actually left out by God and somehow less than they were. So the question is, how can our righteousness exceed that, especially in the light of what Jesus says today? You have heard it said, you shall not murder. Well, we have heard that. It's the fifth commandment. We've been talking about it in catechism lately. And the truth is that most of us feel pretty safe in light of the fifth commandment because we haven't stabbed, strangled, or shot anybody to death lately. So we have that one, right? There we are. The Pharisees believed it. The disciples believed it. The crowds believed it. Even we believe it. But Jesus did not believe it. Jesus tells us that if we're angry with our brother or sister or co-worker or parent or friend or any random stranger, including the person in the other car that just pulled in front of you, if you call them names, you as good as killed them in God's eye. I don't know about you, but I have more than enough brothers and sisters that I got mad with all of them a lot of times and called them all sorts of names. Right? I have done that plenty of times, and to God, I have killed them. I've taken away their humanity, and I've reduced them to some sort of category or commodity. They are no longer brothers or sisters, but they are objects that we are rejecting. There goes our hopefulness that we've been righteous, at least on that point. Jesus does the same thing with adultery and divorce, with swearing falsely and so much more. We think that we're safe because we never committed adultery. But if we've objectified the men or the women around us, we have. We think that because it's legal, there are no spiritual repercussions to divorce, but there are. There always are. We try to rest on our accomplishments and on our earned righteousness, but none of it matters. What matters, Jesus tells us, is God's love and the blessings that come as a gift from God to all of us. In today's readings, Jesus is using the law to its fullest measure. He begins using the first use of the law. The first use of the law is always to help us discover our guilt. All of us who thought that we were safe, because either I've never owned a gun or I've never used my gun on a person, never killed anybody. Jesus is telling us, you're still guilty. We have broken the commandment. Our righteousness is false. All of us who thought we've never committed adultery discover that hormones and catalogs of the girl or boy across the classroom have already made us guilty. We are human, and so we are guilty. Jesus is trying to help us see that on our own. We're never going to be enough. If we're counting on how good we are, we're in deep. But for Jesus, it's the second use of the law that he's trying to bring us to. And the second use of the law is the part that drives us back to Christ. The second use of the law drives us into the arms of our Father and to the forgiveness that we find there like the prodigal. Jesus is trying to show us that our righteousness indeed exceeds the Pharisees When we get that righteousness from God as a gift, God is the only one who can repair our broken relationship. God is the only one who can welcome us into the family of God. We can never earn it. We don't ever deserve it. But it is ours anyway, because God is love, and God loves all of us. For those of us perceptive enough to realize that we are sunk on our own, Jesus has already promised blessings. He told us earlier, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. God's presence and power, the forgiveness, life, and salvation we need are with us as a blessing from God. And because of those blessings, we get to be salt and light. We get to bring the love of God to the people around us so that they too can see God's kingdom. We get to bring the kingdom of heaven with us so that it is truly at hand. This is the promise of Jesus' presence and ministry. This is the gift of his living, helping, teaching, suffering, dying, and rising again for us all. Today, Jesus is trying to help us discover that any man-made plans for salvation are lost and wrong. God's love is the source of our hope. It's the source of our joy and our peace. Jesus is calling us to repent, to return to God, to discover the gifts that are ours. Jesus is calling us to lives of righteousness, lives of right living, inspired by, powered by, and guided by the love of God that goes with us. This can be a struggle, like those who are going into recovery. It can exhaust us some days, but our lives as God's children are also filled with light and salt, with grace and peace. So let's go out into the world and make God's vision for the world into our mission every day. Amen.